Welcome to our Transportation Advisory Committee of the Rural Planning Organization held Tuesday, June 3rd, 2025 at 1:30 p.m. at the Aaron County Building Department Conference Room. I declare quorum. We have Cedar City, Kent Fugel, we have the county, Rita Erickson, Dan Jessen from Parowan, Chris Hall from UDOT, and Tyler Allred from Canaryville, and Rob Botson from Phoenix City in attendance with Nathan Weiberg, who is helping us with everything. We have the agenda before us. I'll entertain a motion to approve the agenda or not.
Move to approve.
The minutes?
I'm sorry, the minutes.
Second.
That's what I meant. That's what I said in my head.
The minutes?
I'll second it.
I have a motion by Reed Erickson and a second by Tyler Allred to approve the minutes of April 1st, 2025. All in favor, please signify by grunting. Anybody opposed?
No. Fully loud grunt.
Let's talk about support federal funding for rail safety and grade crossings. I don't know if anybody else got the email regarding this. I'm sure you did.
It did come this morning from me.
There's one that came this morning, but there was one that came some time ago. This actually, I remember this.
It looks like this in the packet.
Yeah, every year.
Which one is it?
It's the first.
This one?
The colorful one.
I don't have that in my packet. Oh, this one.
Oh, the letter.
This actually comes every year. I've received it every year for, I don't know, a request to us to support the U.S. Senate Committee and House Committees on Transportation in their pursuit of investing in infrastructure for rail, specifically prioritizing safety and performance, improving safety partnership opportunities, restoring highway trust funds, rejecting economic regulation, and supporting competitive rail. So this is in front of you. This is not something that is allowed for our RPO executive committee to vote and approve, because it's not on our, I mean, have us go ahead and just send a letter, is what I mean. They need to actually vote to approve this in their meeting, because it's not on our list. If something is on our list, our priority list, then they can just go ahead and send letters without having approval for support.
Do we also want to ask the RTEC to support this as well?
That's what I'm saying.
Oh, yeah.
Okay. The RTEC would have to support this, because it's not on our priority list.
RTEC could recommend it for RTEC to approve.
Yeah.
What are they asking? What's the short, long and short of the letter that we're...
We support them pushing for rail funding in the federal transportation bill. Essentially, what it is. So they're going to be redoing the federal transportation bill next year, and they want to get as many letters of support to try and get Congress to keep funding in there for freight and rail and we have crossing safety. And
we have 45 miles of rail in our county.
Probably. But the thing is that if it's, I don't know where the rest of the rail goes.
It would just be from the county line down to the county line and then into here.
But if there's not rail, that's going to go on the highway, so I could see them get busier.
And the other issue.
Probably some that if you're connecting places, the other option is I-15. So I think that's why they're reaching out to a lot of, trying to get a lot of support for it and keep that funding in there. Because the interstates are going to get busier if rail
and goes down. And with the New England port, the train tracks coming in here should be even get more.
So I think it's a good idea to say that we would support that, because there's the benefit of the inland port that has the rail connection point and that there's more funding for rail. It also specifically says, you know, prioritize safety for crossings to try and help get some grade separated crossings for some of the major roadways. But that's really what it comes down to. They just want more letters to show Congress to say there's a lot of support for this to try and get more funding in there for it.
So
Recording in progress.
This isn't just for legislative funding. This is also to help promote and enable private funding.
Oh, okay.
So legislation, this is not just a funding bill that will come into play. This is actually to help the private sector that is investing in rail also.
So it's more than just one thing. Worth the investment?
Mm-hmm. Anybody have any other questions? And then I will entertain a motion for a recommendation.
I guess one question I have is, as I read through this, I don't see this as a committee thing.
Recording in progress.
Are we looking for anyone and everyone?
This is a blanket. They've sent it out to everybody in the planet.
So wouldn't we each individually be responding to this? Why would it be as an organization?
Because we can.
Okay.
Yeah, I think you can do it. It's related to transportation, and that's what this group does.
So either we could just not send a recommendation and say, all of you, everybody, all the entities do this on your own, or if you do as an organization and have one letter from the RPO which represents everybody.
All right.
There wouldn't be anything wrong with an organization still doing their own as well.
You still, Cedar City can send one. In fact, if they had everybody do it themselves and RPO.
You can actually even do it online. There's a link in the email I sent you where you can actually, you don't even have to write. You just need to get the support from your boards. And then you can go in there and basically put your organization name and stuff. But we're going to do a letter.
So back to your question, do you have any concerns with doing this as our organization? Nope. And I will entertain a motion for a recommendation to the RTEC.
Do we want to include that motion as have the RTEC do a letter to, or just make a recommendation for RTEC?
Well, typically the RTEC will have two signature lines on the letter.
Okay.
Chair and co-chair. Chair and co-chair. Beautiful.
I'll make the motion.
Please.
Make the motion that we'll sign or recommend this letter to the RTEC for signatures.
I'll second it.
I have how many seconds here?
Reed was the first one.
Reed beat me.
Chris Hall from UDOT. Made a motion to send a favorable recommendation for signatures on this letter. Reed seconded, as did Tyler. All in favor, please.
Aye.
Any opposed? Thank you.
Beat you to it.
Okay. Chris, you want to go ahead and talk to us about socioeconomic data verification for the Iron County PDM?
So this is something that is part of our long-range plan process that we go through. So every individual model has to be kind of updated. So I know Nate's been working with Natalia, the UDOT modeler, to work on this. Once we get it to the point where it's kind of updated, we're going to bring it to you guys to say, check your areas to make sure it's correct. And they're developing a tool that we can turn it on, so it's like city boundaries or the TAZs, and it will show either you can do it, you can combine households and employment, or just look at households or just look at employment. And so you can look at each individual area to get an idea of saying, is that what is currently there as far as households and employment to get a good idea? Because sometimes there's more housing than what we know because it's been built recently or vice versa. And then also it's a good verification because a lot of times when we do our model, we come back and they say, well, we've got this model and this is what's predicting traffic. And a lot of people will say, well, I don't think the model's right. So this is our effort to say we're giving everyone a chance to look at this because that's really what depicts the model is those main points of data is your households and employment data in the model. really drive what the model shows.
Recording in progress.
So we're going to bring that to you at one meeting to say, here it is, you can look at it in your respective areas, you can turn on different sizes of areas to look, and it kind of just shows a heat map of how many households, how many jobs are there, a quick review to say, yeah, that looks about right, or no, there's more here or less here, so we can adjust it. And that gives us our starting point. And then we'll come back again a couple of months after that and look at future to say, in 2050, how many do you expect for as far as like some of the household employment, how much growth do you expect in that time frame? So we're going to do two separate meetings and two separate reviews to say what is current, and then we'll come back. In the past, we've tried to combine it, and it was really hard to separate them because everybody would be like, no, in the future, this is going to have more. It's like, no, we want to know what's current, and then we'll come back and get the future projections after that. So that's the plan this time around. We do it every 4 years. So, and I can't remember. I think that they were shooting sometime in July. It might be August, because I think July wasn't going to work out very well with everybody's vacations and stuff. So.
Yeah, we just went over all the parcel data last month. We've been slowly working through this for what seems like a couple years now. And I have a meeting later with Natalia, I think next week sometime, to go over the next step for my work.
We're still trying to decide how many meetings we're going to have, if we're going to try and have it with every county, or if we're going to try to do AOG areas or something like that. I think we'll probably try and have a separate meeting just for Iron County where there's an RPO to try and do it. And we'll make sure you have the link, so if we don't get everything accomplished in the meeting, you can kind of review it when you have time and then give us comments.
So how long this meeting that format, is it a sit down like a charrette where you draw on a map, or is it going to be digital and we'll have the conversation?
We were discussing the best options there, and I kind of suggested sit down with the map, but also a digital option that you guys can review later.
Okay.
But in the meeting, have a map that you kind of put comments on. But it's a lot easier to see on the digital, so you can shift between households and employments and a few other things like that, and look at either a bigger area, smaller area, but digitally turn later on or not.
Who's going to be invited to this meeting? Is it going to just want to have the architect do that, or are we going to need planners involved?
I guess that's what I want to leave up to you and find out from your perspective. Okay. Who should be there if we're looking at what is the current households and current employment? Who needs to be there to give us the best input? And I don't know if that's planners or somebody else at the different cities, or which are maybe different for every one of you.
Yeah. Hey, Chris, can I push for an Iron County specific one since our model is separate from the balance of state?
Yeah. Yep, but as I was going to say, I think I'll make sure Natalia has a separate one for Iron County for the RPO, because the model is separate.
Is the school district doing any projections?
The school district, I think, just uses the Kempsey Gardner. And okay. We use that.
Well, I just
that's a good point. I'll bring that up, saying that we do need to propose school districting, because they may have data on where the students are, give us a good idea of households.
We already had a meeting with the university, but it might be good just to have them back.
Yeah. But yeah, so that's going to be coming soon. I just want to give you a heads up so you can think about who from each community needs to be invited when we have that to get the correct input.
Okay.
Funny one to be between the two.
We know we're going to invite you because you know all the households in Canada. First, and all the jobs.
Probably. Any questions for Chris about that? Did you need responses now? Do you need?
No, I think we'll reach out when we're trying to schedule a meeting and make sure we get the right people invited and stuff. So I'll.
And the data is available to review.
I don't think it's quite ready yet.
Oh, I don't think so. Oh yeah, it'll.
It will be ready before we have the meeting. They were talking about either trying to get it done in June or in August because they didn't think they were going to get July to work. So.
Maybe we can ask Natalia, say, hey, just like a few days before the meeting, can we push the data out so they can be more informed at our meeting?
Yeah.
Rather than just saying, let's look at these maps and...
Yeah. Yeah, we'll get the information, at least that digital link out, before the meeting.
Okay.
I've been working on street updates. Mm-hmm. That's an arduous project. There's roads out there. Yeah. Let's see.
Okay. Let's move on to number five. Nate, and I guess Nate and Reed.
Yeah, what I wanted to bring up wasn't necessarily specific to our SS4A. I just wanted to make everybody aware that the deadline is June 26th for the next set of SS4A grants. So at this point, we'd be looking at the demonstration and implementation, which the county started one, right? A new application.
Mm-hmm.
And if I'm correct, Kimley Horn, part of their contract was to help anybody that wants to do to do an application. So if you're interested in doing a demonstration or implementation grant.
Or another planning grant.
It's soon. And from what I've heard is that there's a good chance of getting a demonstration grant. That's kind of like the rumbles down the line, but I just wanted to, as a reminder.
Question,
it might be nice to let Rich explain kind of what the county's looking at, and then if the cities can tag on to that, and would be helpful where we interact. We sent a thing out, an email already about that, but Rich, you want to take a minute and do that?
Yeah.
Is that all right, Rob?
Yeah, that's fine.
Because we're mostly rural, we looked at things that made sense. One was interactive signage, where it was appropriate, you know, those signs that, and our sign department has talked to Cedar City's road people, and they said those signs actually do help when the flashes up and tells you that you're, at least they tap their brakes. And so we've got several of those. I can't remember how many.
Seems like 13. Oh, was it that many?
It was quite a number 20-something. Of those. So we're looking at interactive signs. We're looking at striping. Reed brought up a really good point. A lot of cars today, even if you don't have the shoulder on your road, your car rumbles you, tells you that you're close to the shoulder. Because in the county, we have a lot of lane departure. And so we're looking at that. Those will come in an interface. We've already talked to Chris. We're moving forward with what we can do on 56 with that and coordinate with approval from them for both signage and for lane striping. And we're looking at street lights at intersection lighting, which are the things that Kenley Horn suggested. And we went ahead and looked at the whole map and added places that were not necessarily drawn out in their study because they were similar locations, similar, just like the whole goal was that we would be able to transpose this onto similar situations. So I think those are the three, isn't it?
Mm-hmm.
We were looking at
the interactive, the painting, and the lighting.
For the interactive, the things that tell you how fast you're going.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah. We were also getting some other ones at certain intersections that tell you that there's a stop ahead.
Right.
You know, like out at Burrell Junction where Highway 18 comes on 56.
Yellow flash.
That flash when you're approaching it. There were a couple of those too. We had some lighting directional, like on curves, like on Highway 20 at Bear Valley. There were several things that are kind of all related to, you know, interactive signing. Some that read you the speed back, but some that flash as you approach that show that the road turns, things like that. That a stop is coming up, all those kinds of things. And a lot of those are on UDOT roads, but that's okay because, you know, it's all funding that helps be safer in our county.
So I talked to Eric about the Mid-Valley one you guys are applying for. Eric Sweat.
Yeah.
That you're applying for that striping. Mm-hmm. And he said could you just continue east to the roundabout?
Down Mid-Valley Road?
We're absolutely good.
Never heard back?
I mean, he did say he would help us, but
okay.
I haven't heard back from him about that at all.
All right.
Let's follow up with that.
Yeah, we'll follow up. Anything else you wanted to do, Rob?
Well, I made an assumption that the plan that was put to us and those projects had to be ones you applied for. I didn't realize you could just similar somewhere else.
Yeah, anywhere in the county that has a similar problem, the ones that we've identified can be applied for.
Okay.
So if you have something that isn't necessarily studied,
what wasn't an identified area, but the scenario is the same as the ones that we did.
And you have to justify it in your application.
I would just tell them it's a similar condition.
Okay.
Yeah. It's very simple.
That's the intent of those. Is that they knew that you can't study every roadway, so they kind of said we want to just kind of put lumps things like this is a rural two-lane road.
Without shoulders, what do we do? Yeah.
These are the kind of actions you see. So rather than waiting for those crashes to happen, we're going to apply those countermeasures before they start to happen. And so, yeah, you can apply anywhere as long as it fits that overall they looked at, which they looked at basically every option in the county. And so, yeah, anywhere you could apply and get funding for.
What about the striping for the old Highway 91 project?
I was just going to ask that.
You asked. We've already talked to UDOT about 56.
So
Silo Camp.
Do you know what I'm saying? Because it's already in our budget for that $2 million grant.
If it's already funded, it might be tough to get a demonstration grant.
Okay.
You remind me, though. I don't remember whether I asked for striping from Enid to Parowan. I think I did.
That's what I was going to ask, because if so, then we might just jump on that and continue it all the way into town.
Right.
Be weird to stop it right at the edge of town and not finish all that.
But we got.
But you're not all the way. You're only come up to the Baptist Church, I think.
Yeah. Well,
so
up to the
pick it up the rest of the
Heritage Drive.
Okay.
Not Heritage, whatever it's called right there.
Yeah. But paint's pretty low cost, so it wouldn't be that big of a deal to add several miles of paint.
Yeah.
You're already mobilized.
Yeah.
But that's what we're looking for. We just need to know what the mileage is, how many more miles we need to add in.
If you want the link to that, I'll send it to you.
So do I need to get back to
you? Just send me an email,
I'll
talk to Eric. And what we did is we set this up in such a way that each community could act on their own, independent of a general application from just the county.
Yeah. But it might be a better application if Enoch says, you guys are applying for driver feedback signs. We would love two on Mid-Valley Road to help us keep the speed.
Well, they're on the plan.
And so you can apply with them and get that, and you pay your small match portion, and it's a better application because there's multiple agencies saying we're doing a whole systems approach of we're putting driver feedback signs on all of these routes that we have speeding issues on or around there, and it's going to be a better application
to have multiple agencies.
Instead of asking for 30 interactive signs, suddenly we're asking for...
Well, let's talk about that on Mid-Valley for sure.
This one.
But yeah, I'm trying to get some additional paints, some driver feedback signs.
A few is Mid-Valley your road or county road or state road?
The county and
it comes in from 91 to the Uptel it hits something.
Yeah.
And then it becomes county.
Quite Bulldog.
Just past somewhere between
Main Street. Like they came to us years ago and said, you own Main Street from Canaryville downtown. But anytime we want to work on it, everybody says, you can't do that, it's a state road. Oh, you can't do that, it's a county road. You can't do this, but we own it. So I'm just curious. We just finally cut the road, and nobody came and complained, so we don't know who owns it still.
It's easier to ask forgiveness.
Yeah,
you have to maintain that the county owns it.
But then the state says it.
No, the state owns it.
But we don't.
The state don't have anything to do with it.
The state holds title to it.
Yeah. Well, we only have like 40% or something like that of the right of way or something. It's basically to say that the cities can't go, oh, you know what, we don't want this road here anymore, or we don't want anybody coming in here. We're just going to sell part of it and close the road. So that's why the state says that
Canary.
Utah DOT has some earth toll.
Yeah, the island unto itself, there's no road that actually connects it anymore because we cut those off.
I just was curious because this is a good place to ask that question. The only state involvement
is if you try and sell it, we'll get involved. But if you're not selling it,
dang it,
we'll stay out of
we're
it.
We're not going to cut the road. We're just going to put a toll booth on each side.
I think we should. And then when they shut down the freeway for an accident, we'd make bank.
You don't need.
And all of a sudden, there's an increase in accidents on I think.
You don't need the booth anymore. You just need to
Sorry, anyway, just encourage
everybody to look at what you've got and let's coordinate because June 26th will be here quick.
So have you guys looked at all the other roads like coming into Canara from your unincorporated county? Because a lot of people have to come into our little town to get to their place. You guys take all that into your study too, or
yeah,
all right, just curious. We don't care because it's not in our town, but we do have a lot of.
But you have to drive it every day.
We have a lot of traffic now that it's building around us. That comes in and then out. So.
There's already shoulder strength.
Yeah.
Can't.
So it might be beneficial to look at that. There's no one to drive the feedback. Slow people down through town.
I don't know. I think it's any to just go spend some time with those.
So they're gonna have to restripe anyways.
Projects that are identified. The thing I wonder about on these smaller demonstration type is it says the minimum award is $100,000. If you're doing like striping, that's a lot of paint to try to get to $100,000. I don't know how you even get there.
Well, isn't paint pricey?
Application goes with it.
But the driver feedback signs, they're about $5,000 to $6,000 a piece, and if they're looking at 30 of them, that's going to happen pretty quick.
We'll add some stuff. Rob will add some stuff. I don't know about Canaryville, but we'll get
it.
But
I think it's a total grand. It's not right. Pieces of it.
Yeah.
Right.
Throw some in for me, Dan. Okay. Get them from there.
Okay.
Hey, do those driver feedback signs, is there like software that collects the data that you have to also buy?
Depends on so the vendor you get them from.
You can put it where you want.
We aren't buying. Well, we did. We bought the update, so it's a little bit of money every year, but it sends us all the data about the speeds, the hours, the. Yeah.
That's the speed limit signs, right? We've got them down. They've got them on the county roads down by us, and that's when we know when the popo shows up.
It alerts them. Everybody's speeding. Quick, get out there.
Well, it tells them what time. It tells them when the mag. It's counting them, counting out their speed of rate, their rate of speed, and counting them, and then putting it in a time, and then they know when to come down and set up to catch the people speeding the most. So,
that's part of the reason is so the sheriff knows when to be there.
Yeah, the sheriff's doing a really good job. But that it's actually helped us out on Old 91 on Canary Road. Mm-hmm.
So 30 of those is like $180,000.
Holy shit.
We had several of those we installed in my last city I was in. And I thought they were pretty effective for the first 6 months, and then they pretty well lost their effectiveness. I didn't think they were worth the money.
Really?
Yeah.
Well, the way we bought the last two was we purchased them for double reasons, because we have two radar counters that we move around and do things. Mm-hmm. We put the I'm having Martin put them on Westview Drive right now. We pull them and put them somewhere else.
Can we use the data later?
The trailer or the sign?
Just the sign. Take it off the pole.
An update.
And now you have a new. You have versatility. Bring it back. Like if we find that's the case, Kent, but we'll start seeing that if they just start to ignore them because. All of a sudden,
after a while, they start figuring out.
That's when the sheriff will start showing up.
Especially the ones that have the speed limit that you're going, they love that. Let's see if I can get up to 90.
Which is why you need to
get the high score.
That was the problem outside of Phoenix.
You want them to start flashing when you get up to it and do something else. Maybe when you get 5 over, if you get like 10 over, you want it to just go dark because you don't want to. We encourage people to see
just
how
don't
high
have it flash red and blues at me.
I would just
1 mile an hour over, or I will go run that thing over. I hate that when that happens. Like I'm doing 26 at a 25, and you're flashing red and blues at me. I'm going to take you out, sign.
I can tell you where one of those is.
Trust me, nuts.
There's some hidden hostility there.
Oh, yeah. I'll spike my heart rate when I don't need it, you know.
I don't think the red and blue
on your way
is
home,
appropriate anyway.
16 North and 56 on 3900. There's one of those. You can go enjoy it.
Okay.
We're going to put one on 2300 West and about
3000 North.
I know there's a 1 in 10 over, but...
Did you just lose it?
Just kidding. It keeps popping on and off because I keep losing my internet.
It just shot. Spikes up.
County had a crappy internet or what?
Yep.
Spike warning.
Okay, well, let's move on.
Well, the DM be
we'll
this will be the last time we meet on that, so we just want to make sure everybody coordinates as best they can. Let us know.
Okay.
Thank you.
Let's go on about the Transportation Expo.
Okay. Transportation Expo. So I feel like we've had a lot of good movement up to this point. Thanks for Kent getting the venue set and everything like that. I have the list here. I have it up here. By the way, this is on the, I'm not sure if you all remember, but I put a lot of our RPO stuff on a Google Drive. Invited you, so you can actually get off of this if you want and mark it up. But if you look at it, you know, location's been picked, the time has been picked. I just found out Canaryville is not going to have a booth.
We don't need to be in there.
I need to reach out to Brian Head and Paraguna. I almost called it Paragona.
I know. I heard it coming, and then you said it right.
I'd have said it, too.
Somebody's going to get fired.
And, careful. Yeah. And so I'll reach out to them and see what... Oh, my goodness.
Yeah, we don't have any... We don't have enough...
I guess if they don't want to have a booth, then maybe the county can put up some of the...
I'll let the information county defer for us. Give Reed.
I'm just volunteered Reed. Sorry, Reed.
No, they don't have anything else to do in the county.
Exactly. And so basically, we just want to fill out names here for the other. So who's reaching out to these groups? School district, I'll reach out to. I haven't done that. Zero Fatalities, Chris?
Yes. So I asked them if they wanted a booth, and they said yes, or they would come. I don't think I've talked to him since we finalized the date, so I'll give him the date.
Is that already started? Yeah, it started June 1st, right? The 100 days?
100 days, yeah, started
June 1st.
Memorial Day, so last weekend. And
Labor Day.
They call it 100 days, but it varies because they do it from Memorial to Labor Day, and sometimes that's 104, 99, or...
Are we still going to do a car seat checkpoint? That was just brought up at one of the meetings.
Usually, does the Highway Patrol usually do those, or is somebody else?
I don't.
Sheriff's
Department. We don't. Your city PD do that, you know?
I don't know.
A lot of different law enforcement do, so it might be worth asking one of them to see if the Sheriff's Department or Cedar City PD or Highway Patrol. I don't know if Highway Patrol does it. I don't think about it.
So we have Kent and Reed reaching out to Police Department and Sheriff.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
Is that okay?
Yeah, and I can ask about that. I've talked to Chief Adams about this event. He's planning on it, but I can ask him about that car seat check.
I'm going to just maybe mark or delete car seat checkpoint, and maybe they can have some information about that.
Okay. Yeah.
Okay. The airport?
You can change that.
Do we want them there? I think that'd be a good idea.
Oh, definitely. I think so.
Nate, one of the car seat... if you've got that in there, maybe you just put it as public safety. So then they can do it.
Yeah, so we've got that right here, police department, public safety.
Yeah, I'm looking at that, yeah.
So, yeah, I deleted that. So they'll probably have...
Car seat, yeah.
Yeah. So airport, inland port. Does anybody have a good relationship with inland port, or would you like me to reach out to them?
Oh, no, Reed does. We do.
Who's the
would you call?
Director?
Would we call
Danny
Johnson?
Danny Stewart.
Danny Stewart. Yeah.
But he's not the director here anymore, is he?
No, but he's Southern Utah Inland Port.
Yeah.
I thought he.
Yeah.
He's still
an important person.
He covers like 8 of the.
Yeah. I was gonna say he covers a whole bunch of them.
Yeah,
but he does cover
Cedar. I'll just put
Iron Springs.
Reed. It's not writing. Reed / Ridge. Cats. I can reach out to cats unless somebody really knows them well. I'll reach out to cats.
Isn't that a musical?
Mm-hmm. Horrible one.
I got a cat in my house you can have.
What does your daughter say?
Consultants that are working on larger projects. I have Chris Hall on that.
Yeah, so I'll reach out to them. We'll probably just do the Kiwi Horn South Cedar interchange design.
Okay, at our last meeting we talked about having Avenue to see if they had any information about the Cedar Enoch.
They have
transportation.
Yeah,
plan.
And when they did the public meetings, they had big posters. I wonder if we can get those from them. Or Thomas would be.
They may still have those. You want to put?
Have them, but yeah, you can
I'll
see
them. Thomas right now.
/ Rob. Okay. Police Department and Sheriff. We just talked about that. Patchwork Parkway.
Yep. If it's not a real memory, it's a made-up one, but I swear I talked to Nancy, and she was excited about it.
Okay.
But I'll double-check with her the next time I see her. But I'm sure I talked to her, and she was excited.
I'll make up a flyer this month so we can make a flyer.
We did this in the pool, and we put a sea in that scuba. We have eggs.
That must have happened this month.
Yes, you would.
I'll make a flyer so you can start handing them out or putting them out, whatever.
I was wondering if we could talk to Eric about the interconnectivity study that we're doing together. Mm-hmm. At least just having one cluster or something like that, and have Cedar City and Enoch booths right next to each other and put it right in the middle so it's interconnecting our booths.
Hey. That'd be funny.
Big brain type stuff there.
It'd be good for their public comment portion. It'd be good for that part of their public comment.
The last one we have on here is SUBA / Cedar City Active Transportation Committee. I have me on there unless somebody else.
I talk to them every month on the Cedar Active. I don't know anybody with SUBA, but.
I'll
talk to our committee.
Suba. Ask them if they want to do a new chair.
You've been going
but
to
I would defer to say it should be Cedar City's Transportation.
And if someone wants to support it,
they can bring some stuff up.
It's the Bike Association.
For bikers.
Southern Utah Bicycle Alliance.
Bicycles.
Bicycle Alliance.
Yeah, it's not the builders. There's three SUBAs down here. Southern Utah Builders.
Yeah.
Association, and there's Southern Utah Bass Fishing Association, and there's Southern Utah Bicycle.
We want to get the builders involved. Those guys are crazy.
Okay, anyway.
Yeah.
So I'm going to put...
I stole that from Snoopy down there.
Kent. It's yours. Kent. It's offline.
Kent.
Come on,
he really doesn't like you right now, does it?
Oh.
It's because I keep walking off and on online.
I used to go down and actually go get off the exit for more than one thing, but not no more.
Okay, it's getting handwritten.
I'm wondering.
Okay, so bicycle staff, active transportation is between Kent and Chris.
Park Avenue and all these other guys, yeah. Is that what you're going to do? Is invite them to come, or are we going to invite them to...
So just looking for information.
I think we need to ask them, because there's enough budget in the big contracts that they can come to these things. If we ask Kimley Horn for the interconnect study, they might say, well, if you want us to show up and be at the booth all day, you have to pay us, which is going to be quite expensive. So what we can do is say, can you print a couple of boards from the information you've got, and that... with something that's doable, because it's a couple $100
okay.
versus a couple $1,000. So I would say for these large studies, like the Paramount study that we're going to get started, the Cedar Interconnect study, maybe get a little bit of information on the board, put it in the city's booth. Like yeah. the booth
that's what I was asking. I was just keen on Thomas. I'm like,
idea.
That said, you can come if you want. But
I want to maybe
if they come, both they'll want to build their hours and
this
and
is
quit.
You're not invited.
This is quite a few booths. I don't want to add any more than this because the space is quite small. We might end up having quite small booths.
Yeah.
Because there's
that over here.
There's one. Yeah. 2, 3, 4, 5, 6.
I don't think Paragoon is gonna.
Can I share with you?
Yeah, I can share Brian with you, Doc. Paragoon are gonna have one.
Oh yeah. Sorry. One, two. I'll share. The RPO can share with UDOT, and I'll print out a big map for our RPO plan. And that way we can reduce a few.
Just need hours.
But.
Okay.
Oh, we're not doing sponsors. I thought I deleted that.
Take Friday as well.
No sponsors.
Only work a few hours Friday.
I'd be doing the rotation thing Monday through Thursday 1 week.
Advertising and marketing. These were just ideas about how to get them out inexpensively. I'm going to make a flyer so you guys can have something that's kind of branded.
If somebody wrote an article, Nate, if you wanted to make a flyer and put an article, I can reach out to Jeff or Iron County Today, because they will do public letter or public article.
Yeah, so I'll have a flyer by the end of the month. I'll make sure to do that.
By the Thursday or week before.
Okay, so as soon as I get it, I'll just send it to you.
Uh-huh.
Okay. Yeah.
So I don't know if we've measured out that room and said how many booths we can have and how big they are, because a lot of people who are sitting in booths want to know how big space they have, so what to bring.
I was supposed to measure that, and I haven't come up to do that yet.
It's open. I have a wheel.
Do you? Do you have time to? Yeah, let's do that.
That way we can let everybody know, like Brian had in Zero Fatalities, and if law enforcement say the booth size is this much, don't bring more stuff that can fit in there.
Huge impact.
And then I just put in a note here just as reminders, you know, do you want banners, signs, TVs, whatever you want. It's up, kind of up to you. Then we need to decide drinks. So I think we should do, like, if you want a bowl of candy at your table for snacks, and then maybe drinks with those taller coolers, but we need somebody to pay for those.
Hmm. I'm sorry, what was your question again?
Do we want drinks, and who's paying for them?
I'm just going to put a sign drinking.
Get sponsorship from the bar. You only get a certain amount of clientele.
Give them a ticket when they come in and they can get a drink.
We don't want them to keep coming through. We can wait on that until next time.
Yeah.
Water's cheap. Just bottled water. I mean, I can bring Enix City, bring a couple of keggers.
Okay. We'll bring this up next time about having counters and sign-in sheets and stuff, but we'd love to have maybe a volunteer sit at a table with
Carol,
a sign-in sheet.
So Carol can sit there and Carol, she can help manage like the sign-in and counters.
Okay. I can't write. Oh, yeah, I was going to, on advertising, I was going to bring up email lists. If there's, like, any email lists to help get those out. Like, I know that sometimes city councils and stuff like that have lists that we can maybe utilize. Hold on, I need to put this. This is Carol from UDOT.
Yeah.
Surveys. When it gets closer, I'll start developing a survey and run it by you all before it actually is set at the event. But that's all I have. not here to say let's go on to the next item, so let's just go on to the next item, transportation priority list.
Very true.
Tell them who the chair, vice chair is.
The
vice chair.
The chair is Molly, yes. Isn't it?
Kent must be, since he's trained.
I think it was Kent, but I can
look real quick. Our tech.
I think so. At least I told to run the meeting that Bob wasn't there.
Yeah, it's a big difference.
So you're saying move on to the next item?
I say move on to the next item, too.
Okay, Rob was here to say.
The priority list. Okay, so this is on our agenda every time, so that if there's any updates or concerns or anything else, it's on the, at least partially the top of our minds, if not underneath another pile somewhere, but at least we pull it out once a month here in the RPO meetings.
I don't think we've added it or taken anything off this year.
Don't you need to update what Rich wanted on that project? Did you get that update from the RTEC meeting that we didn't approve because we lost quorum?
Oh, that's right. It's not on here yet. But
so I was just going to say we probably need to add that.
Yeah. Which one was that?
Rich?
I have it on the minutes. I have it on the RTEC minutes.
What did it have to do with?
I can't remember. I just remember that there was.
Was it Iron Springs all the way to Wetco?
Oh, yes.
Yes.
It was Iron Springs.
Yeah.
That's what it was, yeah. So and I have a follow-up for that today. So what does the corridor fund, what is it able to fund? Other than the purchase of the land, is it able to also fund the appraisal, the survey, the...
Just the land.
Rob, move your head the other way.
Just the land.
And so it cannot fund...
you have to get a survey before you can...
Right. That's what I'm asking.
It did cover the
appraisal. I think it does appraisal.
It does do appraisal.
But not a survey.
So you got to refund the appraisal because you got to get an appraisal to get the application.
Right.
So you just have the application or the
appraisal. That in the amount.
Well, I should have known that, dang it.
No give me backs.
I was going to say, can I have my money back?
So it's acquisition and appraisal, but not survey work. Because that's going to... I've got some work being done, and bids are coming in Friday, and before I spend a whole bunch of my money, and know I'm not getting any back. Okay.
And of course, the money that we spend for the contract planning comes out of the planning money can come out of the Corridor Preservation Fund. The money that
changed their names. They're land planners.
Mm. Oh, instead
with
of
sticks and sticks and transits.
Mm. Land planners / surveyor.
Yeah, that's a big bill. That's all. Okay.
Okay. I added a note. Can I put that on there? Mm-hmm. And we'll get approved at RTEC.
So we wanted to add the, and I can't remember if it was on here, we need to put it on the corridor preservation list too, but we wanted to put that interchange, the exit 75 interchange. We're going to...
Right.
We're applying for some grant money with Chris to do some preliminary design on that, but we want to have it on the list. I don't know whether it goes under...
Probably planning.
Studies?
Studies, yeah.
Yeah.
And I don't know that we need to add it, because by the time we get it added and... approves, we'll already have the study started and on the way there, so we could put it on there to say that we're doing it, and then we could say that we showed progress, that
we
saw something that was needed, we put it on the list, we got funding,
Do you want to put it, is it far enough out that there's no point putting it on the list for capacity for a construction project in the future?
Is it within 30 years?
Yeah.
Probably. I don't know. problem is that I think the need will be in 30 years. Whether we can put it on a funded phase, that's another question for the next 2 years.
Is it safety or capacity?
Both.
To put it on capacity. It doesn't hurt to put it on the list, because eventually...
If UDOT's funding it, it's going to be a capacity-type project, so it'll be primary capacity. But I think let's wait until we finish the study so we know what kind of...
Recording in progress.
On the capacity list.
So just add it to the studies.
Okay, I'll add it for the studies now.
We're recording.
Maybe when the study's nearing completion, we can put it on the...
project on the capacity list. Yeah.
Okay. We're just calling it Exit 75 Interchange Study, or Interchange and Frontage Road Study?
I think I'm just calling it Interchange Study.
Okay.
Exit 75 Interchange Study.
That's the Parowan South exit.
Yep. Mm-hmm. A lot of people don't know which exit 75 is, so I oftentimes say the South Parowan exit. People know that better than exit 3.
That's just how I remember what our water rights start with. We're in Basin 75. I just remember exit 75. Keeps it straight in my head.
If you gifted me an acre foot, I'd remember too.
Anything else that anybody needs to look at on this? Hearing nothing.
Wait, I have a question. Are we going to need to add any projects to this list that came about from the SS4A study? Maybe we can look at that and come back next time and make that determination then. Because we don't adopt this until November.
That's a good idea.
I'm just basically making notes until adoption.
Kent, something for you. I know that in the active transportation meeting, we were talking about doing some curb cuts and other things to connect trails better.
Mm-hmm.
Do you want to put that under a transportation alternative project? Say, we're going to do several curb cuts as a project, as a transportation alternative project? Because you could apply for some TAP funds or federal funds, and it's hard to do small projects, but if there's other stuff the city's doing, you may be able to roll that together or something, but... Just a thought, if it's a big enough project you want to put on there, or if it's...
Or not.
At this point, I don't know how many locations we would have that would be enough to put together a project or not, but we can certainly look at that. That's a good idea.
I'll get that disconnected again.
Jared.
We called Jared.
Okay. Hearing nothing, we'll move on, but if something comes up, don't hesitate to email Nathan.
Yeah, I'm happy to, if in between these meetings, if a project you feel like is regionally significantly important, then I can start making notes anytime and just bring those notes to here and we can have a discussion. I think that's how we started talking about the Cedar Enoch feasibility connection feasibility study.
I just did think of something just now because I was thinking about the belt road and then I jumped to Paraguna. So the Paraguna frontage road that runs parallel to the interstate on the west side, I'm sure several of you have seen this before, but when somebody's moving up that road with any speed, you can't see the interstate when the wheel is rolling. Should that be a safety on our list? Just Bruce is talking about getting a chip seal, primarily because of the safety issue it poses to the interstate.
I have noticed that. I think that'd be a good idea. I think it would be.
I just wonder if it should be on our list.
But because it could be a good safety project, but
I don't know if we can do it.
You put some of that oil on it. What do you really call that oil that penetrates the dirt?
Holds the dirt, like a fluoride or something.
Yeah.
Well, he's talked about that, but really, He says, by the time we shape it and do all the work, it's not much more to just finish with chip seam and not come back and deal with it again. But I was up driving up that way the other day, and there was a trooper in the medium, and he disappeared in the dust, and then he reappeared.
He probably liked that.
Well, he was looking at the other bound traffic, so I didn't care.
Camouflage.
But the point was, yeah, it can get pretty awful. I mean, I couldn't see four cars up ahead.
I mean, would we be considering like a?
I guess my question is, those kind of safety issues, I mean, they're a joint thing with UDOT, but they're definitely on the county as a responsibility because it's our frontage road.
So, out there on the Buckhorn on the very north end, remember when that one field was always a dust bowl across there? Did they end up paying that farmer to put crops in and stuff to keep it? Because it was causing a lot of accidents on the north end when it was blowing from the east or the west to the east across the freeway. Do you remember that? There were lots and lots of accidents, and somebody finally started putting some crops in to hold the dirt down, but who would have paid funded for that?
I think he just started farming it.
Yeah.
It
was Don Roberts.
Hammonds, I think.
What was it, Hammonds?
I'm just curious if that
would
be the same thing.
Considering, I think it might be worth putting on
the
list.
Tell the state not to take their water rights away, because all that's going to turn into a dust bowl. All that out there by the Buckhorn's new water rights.
That
under the groundwater management plan.
Almost
all that out there is.
Yeah, that's all like 70s and 60s.
For some reason, the wind blows.
It's all going to be gone.
To the west right there.
And the lobs on all that,
so
right?
The east side,
the lobs, Donnie Roberts.
Yes, the west side doesn't give us much trouble by the dairy.
They're all new water.
The east side does. The east side's constantly.
They said they'll sue till they have
is that a county road?
Mm-hmm. Otherwise they lose their entire
operation.
So east frontage road, by Paraguna.
Off of exit.
North of Paraguna.
North of Paraguna.
5 or 10. Yeah, about
just
exit.
The whole way.
82 or 85.
Yeah.
82 or 84.
Sorry,
Paraguna.
See
you,
Jack.
Isn't it?
Can't
get
to
Jack.
I will. Jack.
95 is that start point.
You'd like it. I'll leave, guys. I had a heart out. Sorry.
That's okay. Any additional conversation about the priority list? Okay. Let's move on to project studies and updates. We'll start with Parowan. Go ahead, Chris. You got any updates?
So updates, I am working to get a consultant on board for the Parowan study. I'm talking to JUB and Avenue right now. I was going to select Avenue, but there was a question if they had enough pool dollars left, so we probably weren't going to be able to hire them. They've worked it out so we can, but I'm waiting to see what JUB gives me for their scope and price, and then I don't know that I'm supposed to be able to do this, but I think it's just federal funds that are only required to go off qualifications, not price, but I'm going to see which one's going to give us the best price.
What project is that?
The Parowan study.
Oh, Parowan, okay.
1975. So
I'm trying to talk my boss out of bidding engineering services. I haven't had much luck yet. I think it's the wrong thing to do. So what's your base selection of professional services on price?
Mm-hmm.
I think it should be
qualifications.
Select on qualifications, negotiate a scope of work, and the hour estimates and the cost is what the cost is. If you can't afford it, then that's part of your negotiation, but we put stuff out to engineers for bid, and I absolutely hate it. I don't think we should be doing that.
Yeah, it's really easy to miss stuff that way, especially if you don't get something in the scope, because then they say, come back and like, it wasn't in the scope, you got to add more to it. But if you if you get the right person and the right price, they don't keep coming back and saying, oh, we need more for this, and we need more for this.
The last two I put out actually were qualifications ahead of price.
Yeah.
And then we negotiated the price for like the fair.
I don't even think price
but
should. Yeah, price should need to be part
of
the
price. But we did ask for price along the way, because we had a $250,000 bid and we selected a $58,000 consultant. That's how widely spread we were unfortunately, the person we, the one we selected was at the top of our, and was the lower yeah. bid, but it was like, what? So you, somehow you've got to kind of get a sense of where they're at with their fee schedule. Without, I agree with you. Yeah,
yeah.
Don't miss the persons that can provide the service you're really looking for.
You just prefer sending out RFQs for every project, or
anytime we're going to hire a consultant, that would be my preference. And
sure. Then you tell them this is my budget. Work within that budget. Give me what deliverables you can.
Well,
that's not necessarily.
I know.
I mean,
that would be ideal.
Yeah.
Do you have any projects or studies or anything you want to update us?
I've got a few more. So South Cedar starting the design. Kimberly Horn / our project managers. Cedar City's Council tomorrow, just for an update to keep the Cedar City Council in the loop. Yeah. So that Cedar's kind of on board with that process. And the I-15 northbound climbing lane is supposed to start at the end of June. For their first 6 months, they're only working on the median side. So they're not going to start on the roundabout or the structure until February of next year. That's their plan.
So they've changed that?
Yeah.
February of next year.
Yeah. So we'll start February on that.
26.
They're going to be on the north side or northbound, but they're going to be on the median side doing all the widening they're doing on the median side, and they're probably going to do some pipe extensions
from like 43 up to 51.
Yeah. So this summer and the rest.
You
of the
know
year
that's just going to bottleneck the hell out of that when they hit the 51, right? Mm-hmm. It's just going to cause just as much chaos as it does down at 42 right now.
More. I think it lasts more. But the South Cedar interchange is going to take it past 56, so we're going to extend it at the next project.
Okay.
So it's noted that it's going to cause a problem, but it should be only there for 2 years until we have another project to fix it. But you have to stop it somewhere.
If you just get it past 52, I'm okay. I don't have to respawn past 52.
While you're widening that, can you put in that interchange?
No.
Oh man, that's just going to be I get off on exit 42, so I don't ever have to hit that. But on the holiday weekends, where it goes from 3-lane to 2-lane there, back to New Harmony and Canaryville exit, that bottleneck's so bad right there on the big traffic weekends. It's terrible.
Well, I think at 51, right there where we're ending this current project, it's on a slight grade.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah.
It is. When we drop a lane, it's going to make
you're uphill all the way into Cedar.
Yeah.
So.
No, that was a complaint that we noticed when we got that project. We said, we really need to extend it. They're like, we don't have the funds, but we have another project coming. We're going to add it to that project. So, it's not ideal, but that's what we have money for.
Mm.
So.
Maybe that's all right. Everybody will glad to be back here.
I think that's everything I have.
Roundabouts out for another year.
Kent?
I don't think I have much for this time. We are just about done, finally, with the industrial road project. Had a inspection with our FHWA guy out of Salt Lake today. That was fun.
So, remember his name?
Dave Cox. So it was just him and Devin, myself, and Clayton Wilson. It was just four of us on the inspection. That was a couple hours of fun, but I won't get back. So anyway,
fun that you just can't get back.
Yeah. In other words, not really fun, but
bless their hearts.
But it was good. He didn't give us too many bad marks on it, so I guess we're all right. The biggest holdup on that still is light, luminaires. Got those that are still on back order.
I feel bad for them guys. They'd get to where all the curb and stuff, and then all that rain hit and just blowed it. And they get the sun down for all the asphalt, and then the rain hits just.
Yeah, the only times in the last year it's rained.
Yeah, every time they've been ready just to hit it. And it's rained like hell.
But it's all paved now, so we're in good shape.
The subs had a terrible, terrible time.
Oh, it'd be horrible.
Yeah, I don't think I have anything else.
Can I ask you about the airport master plan? What is the schedule on that? When is it going to be time to look at land use around the airport there? Because the county's got a couple of issues, and last time we coordinated in conjunction with the airport master plan, and the Cedar City was going to look at their land use a couple of different times around the airport, and around 3000 North is a concern because the county changed their land use for the airport overlay along 3000,
right.
But then also down on the west side there where it turns, there's some concerns there that the commissioners and others have talked about doing some land use changes for the airport there. So we wanted to coordinate that with the airport master plan at the time and have that discussion.
Yeah.
That, and I haven't heard anything for a while, and I was on the committee and... Or I mean notification when they were supposed to be updating, and I haven't heard anything for a while.
I'll check with Tyler Galeck, find out.
Okay.
See what I can find out on that.
Yeah, thank you.
The roundabout starts construction.
They're starting the 107th Street.
It was supposed to start yesterday.
I drove over. I drove past there on purpose to see if they had the road blocked off, and they didn't today.
They didn't. Yeah. Okay.
There's the big message sign says, yeah, it's done, but they. And you can still go over it now, or a couple hours ago.
Yeah. So. Anytime now. That should be shut down and remain shut down until...
So right in time for the summer games opener.
Both.
Oh, yeah.
Or no, wait a minute. Wait a minute. It's next Monday.
Is it waiting?
It was going to be this Monday, and it's because of the opening ceremony
that
they delayed it a week. Yeah.
Oh, that's how
come. So it'll be next Monday. Sorry.
I've been laughing about
and
it.
And then it'll probably be closed until after the semester starts this fall.
Sometime this semester.
So it'll be.
But in fact, it'll probably still be closed when that first home football game is. But SUU says it'd a lot rather deal with that than having it closed during the opening ceremonies of the summer games.
Really?
Yeah. So the football game will be much easier to deal with.
But it's still going to be chaos.
Yeah, it will be. But anyway. So that's the latest on that. Yeah.
Reed here, is he from the county?
I don't think so. Rich, do you have anything? Right. No.
Nothing we have.
You have anything, Tyler?
We don't. I have a mile in my world, in the world, that's it.
RPO has
what
one.
Do you got?
The Highway 91 project should be going out to bid soon.
And what are they doing for you?
Resurface.
Just to resurface from where, like the bowling alley to...
No, from the, what do you call that, warehouse.
Oh, the old hostess place?
Yeah, the old hostess place, to right before you start going up the hill.
Oh, really?
Yeah. The southern homestead, right there. It would be nice to take it further north and go, but the county didn't...
So who's in charge of it? Who's in charge of it from like where Mid-Valley comes on? And you go out on the road, you get to where you can turn to the new ice rink and all that. That's
so
just terrible through there.
So
who's in charge of that?
So you go from Mid-Valley up to the soccer field.
Mm-hmm.
Right after the soccer field, it's county. And then
that'd be after that, then. That'd be you, then.
Well, it's city until it gets past
the hockey rink.
Yeah, because
look on the map; it'll show you.
Well, that was all annexed with Spencer Jones.
Has been annexed
in the process.
Oh,
we went through that.
Once it gets annexed, there'll be some
change. Yeah, because not that I care, but I take that frontage road a lot back and forth to Parowan, and that you lose the fillings in your teeth on some of them holes.
Slow down.
No, it doesn't help. It makes it worse.
Bumps.
You gotta get on top.
You
can't
run.
You go like this.
That's what I think.
So the Spencer Jones annexation isn't done yet.
I just always been curious who owns it. And it's more of me because I'm
development
like
agreement.
We own this mile.
We agreed
to
everything, and so
you know
just
what I mean.
Now we're just on hold. Oh.
So you got a bid out.
So it's going out to bid. I think we just signed the contract yesterday. so we can go out to bid. But it's going to be one of those really cool trains. You know the trains where they mill it?
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah.
Colder place.
It's pretty awesome.
Those are cool.
I watched one just to see what it looked like, and I was like, man, that's amazing. We're done. But the problem is that if they can't get on it this year, which they probably won't be able to, probably next spring. So
mention of Old Highway 91 remind me. So we've got somebody in the real estate area, Dan Roberts, who is taking to the city council tomorrow night that he wants, no, planning commission tonight, then the city council. Anyway, forget which. But anyway, he wants to rename Old Highway 91 south of the South Interchange to be Main Street. He wants Main Street to come down, make a 90-degree bend at the signal there by Maverick, and have that be Main Street going all the way down, because it'll make that property more marketable down there. instead of calling it Old Highway 91, and I've talked to him, John Blue, in the face, and saying that is just dumb. We don't want that to be Main Street. If you want to change the name, come up with a good name to propose. Don't try to call it Main Street.
Well, the dirt out there is junk anyway, so how's he going to sell it?
That's why he wants to change the name so we can sell it.
There's all kinds of big
He wants to sell it to the people who
don't
know
that. Everything dirt out there falls down, it all goes to the core of the earth because the dirt out there sucks so bad.
Well, they all of their geotech reports tell them they've got it over-excavated a long ways and filled it back up.
And they've done that over the years, and it's still... There's one, they did a 22-foot over-ex up behind Big O.
Oh, yeah.
Remember that big apartment?
Yep.
That thing's falling down in the middle. Like, yeah. I don't understand why they're even trying to build up. Junk.
Anyway, well, so if anybody would like to weigh in,
it's Old Highway 91. I mean,
anyway,
Dan Roberts.
I think the
Dan Roberts Boulevard.
There you go.
Dan Roberts.
better than Main Street.
It's so disconnected.
Yeah,
you can't. Well, even Minersville Highway.
Yes, yeah.
That's Main Street, right? Technically,
it's not Cedar Main Street because it's not in Cedar. But it is up to.
But it just makes a hard.
We want to. We actually want to change the name. I don't know if you don't let us. We want to change the name to Enoch Highway.
Enoch Boulevard.
You need Enoch Highway.
Something other than Minersville Highway. It's like, oh, well, I'm on Minersville Highway. Well, I'm not Minersville.
That's 50 miles that way.
Yeah, that doesn't work to change Highway 91.
I don't think that.
Just to the flyover or down to the fork?
Right now they want to go to Tipple Road.
Tipple Road, because that's where they're annexed to.
Punch it back. Tipple Road. Punch it back. We'll rename it Tipple Road.
Main Street denotes continuity, though, doesn't it?
Yeah.
They just jog and do this kind of thing and stuff.
Anyway, so if anybody wants to contact a Cedar City Council person and tell them why you think that's a dumb idea, I would appreciate it. Because I don't think it means a lot when I tell them it's a dumb idea.
Okay, that's the only thing I had. It was Highway 91. And that'll be a big deal for us, for sure.
I saw that on the agenda, but I didn't know where it began and stopped.
Oh, and you might have seen the Lynn sign go up out there. Drew it down.
Yeah, that had a whole bunch of social media attention.
Yeah.
They're all freaking out. You might get a Starbucks.
What? Lynn's out there.
Lynn's and Ace Hardware.
I meant the Main Street.
I'm over in Enoch. I left you, man.
I know.
I'm in your
hometown.
I don't
know that way.
Yeah, Lynn's sign went up last Friday at Arctic Circle and Hearst or Ace Hardware.
Because I did drive
and Starbucks
on Monday.
I think it's going to be a race between Lynn's and Winco to see who can get built first.
Terribles and Maverick.
So
that's
terrible. So Winco is going to go in there just south of Love's.
Oh.
The rumors are flying about that one.
Yeah, we met with them and they told us it's okay to let people know they're committed to it.
Oh, are they?
Winco in the
Fiddler's area there?
Yeah. Where they
could
that?
Be
south of Loves.
Yeah, south of Loves, we've got the road that comes partway down right now, just down to where the Ag Credit building is. It'll be on the west side of that, between that road and that 15.
There, I just sent Scott.
Is it a big store?
That was stupid.
Camp is a big store? How big of a store are they talking?
They're talking 85,000 square feet.
Send Mandarin too. Send Mandarin too.
All right. Contact on purpose.
Hey, Rob, you can jump on this and get something out of meaning on, you know. What about Eddie Boulevard?
I'm going to have to drive up to shop at Huntsville.
If somebody fix 91, you might be able to build something out there.
We're doing our part. How's that? Okay. If there's nothing else to joke about, then we will move on to...
Wait, I have a update.
Nathan update.
Thanks.
Or
other discussion. I just wanted to bring up, at our last meeting, Ben Mon from UDOT talked about functional classification. For those, several of you marked up the map. Thank you. UDOT is going to make the final decision on those soon, and they've asked the RPO and the MPO to look over those, and they would kind of like us to make the final decision on those. Some of the roads are pretty, look like they're pretty far out, and they want us to keep it within the STIP cycle, so like a 4-year. So I'll be calling you if.
Well, I was just making my master transportation plan match.
Yeah.
That's forever.
Yeah, that's what it looked like. So I'll just call you, and what we'll probably do is the ones that are further out will take off.
I mean, you know, all the way to Burrow.
Because it's a four year cycle. We're going to be doing this again in 4 years.
Yeah. All right, that's what I sort of like. It's like you want to know the functional classification of what it means to be in the future, but they're saying that. And I've tried to have this conversation with them, and I don't know exactly. And I think part of it is that maybe they're okay with the functional class of higher than what it's functioning at currently if there's an existing road there. But what they don't want is a bunch of future planned roads that aren't built yet. They don't want to put on the functional classification.
From a planning standpoint, though, we have to have those functionally classified.
Yes.
So that they get built properly.
I think federal highways and this UDOT-managed map of functional classifications is separate than the transportation master plans. So the county and city can have all of that on their transportation master plan. And that's why I tell, because I've talked to a lot of cities, are like, well, we want these functional classes. I'm like, that's fine. You can put it on yours. But the one that UDOT manages with federal highways may not be able to have that many higher functional classifications that they show on their master plan.
Mm-hmm.
And so I think that's what we need to weigh between the two.
So why is UDOT looking at this different than what FHWA approves for MPOs? Because FHWA approves for MPOs to have all of these future roadways at what their functional class needs to be from a planning perspective. So why is UDOT looking at it different?
That's a good question, because I was under the assumption that UDOT is told that we have to do this by federal highways, so we're doing it to meet the requirements. And I don't know if it's different for the state, whole state functional classification designation, or the MPOs are different. I don't know why. But because I asked that question, I said, do we really want to reach out to everybody to say, what are your functional classifications? And then when they say, here's our functional classifications, and Federal Highway says, no, we only want the STIP. So I'm like, why are we asking for their opinion if we're just going to tell them, no, we don't want that information? And they said, well, you should reach out to them anyways.
So I can take this off my checklist because they don't care.
That was my conversation with Federal Highways guys. Like,
so is that still available for us online?
They're coming out with a new tool. Is that one still up?
They were talking about taking it down. I said, no, leave it up until the end, because if Federal Highways really wants us to reach out and get more input, even if we're not going to take it, we need to keep the tool.
So Ben's not in charge of that anymore. But if we want to have a deeper conversation, I would be happy to set up a separate call with them so they can answer these kinds of questions directly.
Well, it might be good just to include Kent or anybody else from this group that wants to in the next call that Jeff and Kelly and everybody that monthly functional class meeting. Because that would be, I think, helpful, because me asking these questions sometimes are like, this is what we do, and if they get another perspective. And get a view that you know a little bit more about it and can specify these things a little bit clearer than I can, it might help them clarify that.
They have some rules that I don't completely understand either that we could maybe get around, get a good answer to, like the percentage thing. There's like they can only classify a certain percentage of roads.
And that's just a rule of thumb. They can go over it. But yeah, federal highways is like, okay, the arterials or other things are a certain percentage, and those roads are supposed to carry 60% or more of the traffic, and federal highways has this system that's like a certain percentage of different classifications, and the different classifications.
Based on populations.
Like the interstates are only supposed to be like 1% of the functional classifications, but they're supposed to carry like 40% of the traffic. And then it just goes on different.
And then they bottleneck at 55.
Yeah. Anyway, it's the whole thing. So we just want to make you aware that this conversation is still going and your input is. We're trying to drive your input.
Well, I started west and started moving in, so you got a lot of things that I know will go out there in 100 years. So we put an Antelope Road on there?
Okay. That's all I have.
We get that build out. It will be.
Thanks for remembering that. Yeah.
Our next meeting is August 5th at Bryan Head.
Do they know that?
I think Nathan's.
I will be.
Last year they did not know that.
We stood in the parking
lot. I remember getting up there going, "What meeting?"
Yeah. Well, the funny thing is I actually call before. I usually will call and be like, "Hey, we're scheduled for this," and so that was kind of fun. It's ironic. Like I called Reed like a week ago to make sure that we had a spot.
Mm-hmm. Good job, Nathan.
I just saw Iron County building, and I just walked upstairs and went, "What the hell?" So I called Reed.
Hey, if it's us, it's here.
Well, what we did.
But you're so used to going to the court, I guess, that you wanted to see the attorney.
Did we adjourn?
Are we adjourned? Does anybody want to?
I move that we adjourn.
Second.
Anybody else want to stay?
Nope.
Okay.